The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, July 20th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as I have a conversation with consultant. I'm trying to make sure I didn't call that the next name. Consultant Ms. Kimberly Oden-Stubbs, or just Kim?
Kim Oden-Stubbs.
Kim Oden-Stubbs, who is going to have a conversation with me today about museums. You know, I am very into museums, right? And I have some ideas on what we should be doing inside the Bahamas. So I got a specialist who can tell me how I can start a museum, what are the steps I should follow, and what I should be doing if I want to be the government to recognize me as a real museum type person. And I also wanted to have a conversation about the museums we actually have right now in country, and not just New Providence, because I know we have museums in Abaco, Grand Bahama, I think even in Long Island. And this person, Ms. Oden-Stubbs, knows everything in the Bahamas about museums. So I'm excited. Not regular excited. I mean, that could be that extra excited, because I want to talk about my Obia Museum, and I think she's going to you can help me with this Obia thing? Okay, she is going to help me. No, we can't do an Obia Museum?
No, I'm sure we can.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad. So I'm going to start with, I'm putting your mic a little closer. I'm going to start with you and how you got to AMMC, which is Antiquities Monument Museum Corporation, and how you started your career. Because now they say you're the expert. They say that anything about museums, call Oden-Stubbs. And Oden-Stubbs will give you detail. Out of her head, she said, you just know everything. So I want to start. How is that possible? Go ahead, Ms. Oden-Stubbs.
Good morning, Mr. Nuri, and thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay? I'm excited. So, yes, yeah. Definitely, it is a pleasure to be here.
Right. I'm the technical consultant at AMMC, and my area of specialty has always been museums. However, as the technical consultant, I'm responsible for historic preservation, advising, working with the staff, and archaeology as well. But you want to talk about museums today.
Yes.
And we are the National Museum of the Bahamas.
No, I don't understand
that. AMMC is the corporate arm of the National Museum of the Bahamas.
Okay.
The act speaks to establishment of a kind of museum system. Because we're an archipelago, mm-hmm. we realize that we cannot simply create one facility in New Providence mm-hmm. and not look at how we work in our family islands as well. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Go ahead. And I want to know how you started.
The National Museum of the Bahamas started as a section mm-hmm. in the Department of Archives. Okay, Dr. Grace Turner and I and a consultant at the time, Mr. Tony Ahrens, mm-hmm. we worked within the Department of Archives and established the beginning of the National Museum of the Bahamas. Our first site, as it were, was the Pompeii Museum.
Okay.
And we moved to the Pompeii Museum I think it was 1989, maybe.
Okay.
No. It was 1991 that we moved to the Pompeii Museum. Okay. Officially opening in 1992 to commemorate the quincentennial. Okay. Landfall.
Of Columbus, 500 years.
Columbus, mm-hmm. right, 500 years. So that is our background. Dr. Gail Saunders, of course, was very instrumental in the establishment of the corporation, the legislation, the identification of the site. The Pompeii Museum was actually secured by the late Honorable Paul Adley, who was Minister of Education at the time, and saw that a building of that magnitude, because it was a market mm-hmm. from which enslaved persons were sold. It is historic, and he secured the building to be used as a museum.
And you mentioned 1990. I vaguely remember going downtown with my mother to pay a BPLBEC bill.
Right.
I'm not sure if that was the building, but
it
I vaguely...
It was the building.
See,
It was the utilities building, actually, mm-hmm. from the turn of the century. So initially, you would have had, when the second story was put on the building, it was the utility building, so you would have paid your water bill, your light bill, all of your utility bills there, and then ultimately... the Electricity Corporation took over the building completely. So when we moved in, they had recently vacated.
It's strange that I actually remember that. But let's talk about museums in yes. the Bahamas in general.
Okay.
In Nassau, I want you to call some museums. I'm not sure if you...
We don't have very many museums.
Go ahead. Okay? Tell me what we
do
have.
But we do have the Pompeii Museum.
Okay, that's one.
Which is the Museum of Slavery mm-hmm. on Bay Street. We operate the Balcony House Museum.
You move from Pompeii Museum quickly and then go on straight
I'll
to
go
Balcony.
Back.
Okay,
I'll go
back.
Back.
Okay.
I'm just listing.
Go ahead.
Okay? The Balcony House Museum is a museum that we operate. It is owned by the Central Bank of the Bahamas.
Okay.
I like to say it's the pretty pink house on Market Street,
mm-hmm.
Just across from the Central Bank. Okay. We also operate all of the historic forts, Fort Charlotte, Fort Fincastle, Fort Montague,
mm-hmm.
and we have exhibits in them. We operate them as historic sites, but we also operate them as museums, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we interpret, we tell the story. They themselves are artifacts,
mm-hmm.
and as such, they are museums, okay? There is the National Art Gallery. And
you involved in that too?
No, we're not, but the art gallery. An art gallery is a museum.
Okay.
It is only a museum of fine art mm-hmm. or craft or a combination, but it is a museum. We are very much partners with the National Art Gallery. And then basically that's it in New Providence.
But before you move on, you used the word historical sites. I'm not sure what you meant by that.
Historical sites, when we say historical sites, we're referring to the forts.
Okay.
Okay.
And the reason why I mentioned that, right, is because surely the Government House, isn't that a historical site?
Yes, I'll get to Government House. Government House, I was about to add.
Mm-hmm.
There are other historic sites.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? There are other historic sites. Government House is a historic site. You might say that St. Francis is a historic site. St. Matthew's Church is a historic site. They mm-hmm. are significant to the history of the Bahamas, and they are either built on natural sites,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So they are all historic sites. Cemeteries are also historic sites, the Western Cemetery, okay?
Yeah.
Important.
I've been there recently
and
see the names on these tombs.
Yes, the Western Cemetery uh-huh. is an extremely important historic site for our national development and history.
So let's talk about that briefly.
Okay.
I know you called sites that you're in charge of. I know you didn't call the Western Cemetery.
No, we are not responsible for cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have done a lot of work in the significant cemeteries. We've gone into cemeteries to document. To document the engravings and mm-hmm. the information from the tombs and the graves. We've gone into cemetery to advise on how they may be preserved and restored, because if we don't,
mm-hmm.
It's difficult, because it can be It's labor intensive. Mm-hmm. We work, for example, with a Commonwealth organization that looks after the graves of war veterans.
Okay.
And there are graves of war veterans in the Bahamas that they are responsible for. So we work with them in oversight, as it were. We may not physically be involved in the management because the government's Ministry of Works is generally the agency responsible for that. But when it comes to documentation and restoration and advice on the preservation, we are involved.
Nice. Uh-huh. But why don't you continue the list? You name the forts, you name the Pompeii Museum, you name...
As museums.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I was identifying some of the general historic sites.
Yes.
Cemeteries, churches, some homes.
Homes too?
Yeah, homes of significant Bahamians may be identified as historic sites.
Okay, I want to pause you right there, right? So say I have a home, over the hill, Nassau. This house was built circa early 1900s. So that's basically 100+ years old, right? Clapboard, wooden structure, you know, conch shell type style, right? Family Island, Harbor Island, Abaco type style, right? I can picture two right on Market Street there.
Yes.
Right? And how does AMMC assist those owners? Because I assume maintaining such a house would be expensive, right? Do they get some free paint? Lumber?
We at present are not able to assist from the budgets or the resources of the AMMC.
Mm-hmm.
However, government does have incentive programs for taxes that persons can apply for. Okay. But there are certain criteria. For example, it may be that a significant person lived there. It might be the style of the house mm-hmm. that is extremely significant in maintaining the historic integrity of what we see as Bahamian architecture.
Yes.
So your point about the style of the house mm-hmm. might be significant, okay? It might be, for example, some things that we are beginning to look at, just the need to look at not losing what we refer to as Bahamian. And we like to think sometimes that oftentimes we hear people say we don't have history, we don't have culture. We have so much history and culture, okay?
I agree with you.
And each of us needs to just begin documenting what is our personal history and culture, okay? What is our family story? It is so very important.
And moving
that
away...
oral tradition.
And moving away from... the structures, because I still want to be based on the structure, but something you said, what was poignant to me, recording our own history.
Oh, yeah.
Is there any support on how? Because there are a number of Bahamians who have a great story, but they're not good writers. They're not good storytellers, nor do they have a template to say, okay, what exactly it is I should be recording.
There's not necessarily a template. We are not an agency, for example, that you might come to and we pass you a booklet on how to document my family's history. However, it's something that we may consider just listening to our conversation. However, we do participate in the documentation of the oral history of the Bahamas. We conduct a lot of interviews. We encourage our staff to do interviews. We've done programs with UB, for example, with Department of Archives.
Mm-hmm.
We've done programs in various family islands. Getting back to museums, for example.
Yes.
Okay. When we talk about how and what we do to create a museum.
Mm-hmm.
What story is it that we want to tell, okay? I don't know which island you're from, for example.
Well, I'm born in Nassau, New Providence, but right. my family's from Auckland.
Okay, yeah. Let's use Auckland as an example. And I visited Auckland some time ago, St. Aidan's Anglican Church.
Anglican Church. Okay?
Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people in Auckland who are very keen to document the history and to look at creating a museum and other cultural institutions there. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you would want to determine what story is it that you want to tell, mm-hmm. okay, in your museum. Is it the story of the island itself? Is it the story of a particular settlement? Is it the story of certain families mm-hmm. on the island? Or you may want to do a combination of all. Maybe a small community, and so you may not need to do a museum that speaks to each one of those separately. You may decide that your story should include all of what we've mentioned, okay? Mm-hmm. And so you put your team together, okay, of resource persons, of community persons who want to work with you. You identify a site. Where is the museum going to be located?
Okay.
And
that's why I invited you here, because I wanted you to hash that out. And I don't want to rush that, because I asked on the second part of the show on what are the 5, 6, 7, 8 steps you should do. And I see you guys identifying sites, identifying who's going to be on your team, right? But I want to save that. Okay. I want to save that, because that's the key thing where I invite you for. And because I know you are the one, the go-to person for that, right? And I know the Hannah Hasty Tynes of Auckland are interested in creating their own museum for the family itself, but they don't necessarily know what to do, how to start it. And I wanted you to basically hash that out, so those who are leaders within the family can say, okay, we are able to do that. We can start tomorrow. We can start next week. But we'll start that next. I see I have a caller online, so I'll pass the caller through firstly, and then I'll ask about the other museum and sites on the family islands that of note that you can mention. Go ahead, caller. Welcome to Guardian Radio AM.
Thank you. Godly days.
Oh, 1 minute for me, Raymond. Before you start, let me let my guest put on her earphone so she can hear the question. Okay, go ahead now.
Godly days. This dark in a way.
Good. Nice to hear your voice, Raymond.
Yes, thank you. We need justice, law, and order in this country, the Bahamas. But a special good day to your guest.
Yes, I'm excited to have her here.
Yeah.
I need to bring her back on again tomorrow.
What's your name?
My name is Kim Alton Stubbs.
Okay, Ms. Alton, let me ask you a question. And I was asking somebody this question just yesterday at the House of Assembly, but they were unsure. If a person cannot, or the people that are the registered general cannot find a person's birth certificate, but they could find the person's death certificate, would you all have the person birth certificate?
No, we won't. That is not our mandate. We don't keep records of persons' birth and death. That is the Registrar General's mandate.
Well, why do you suppose they don't have it? What
it might be that the person's birth was not registered.
But I don't see how, because if his dad registered, his wife registered, I don't see how they don't have it. I think if you have the death, you should have had it. But basically what she's saying, what she had said is a lot of people have that first name. The first name a lot of people have. So it gives me the impression that she either don't want to look for it or I don't know.
I don't know. I'm sorry. That is not under the purview of the National Museum of the Bahamas. And I can only say
that. I can't hear you.
I said it's not under the purview of the National Museum of the Bahamas. And I don't work in that particular area.
Other thing is, right? I was born in Auckland, right? And in Auckland, I first went to school in Auckland, right? My name's spelled a special way over there. Basically, and some people would, that work for government, they told me I have to go to Auckland in order to get my some certificate to show the way my name's spelled, right? Now, my name has a, what you would call a diphthong, if you know that man. You know what it means, right?
No.
Go ahead, Bremen.
So,
go ahead.
What I'm saying is, right? It only has, the way they have it to the registry general office nowadays, it just has one vowel. You see what I'm saying? So I wonder why they hadn't gotten the information from Auckland.
Yeah, but like Miss Alden says, this is not her area, and she's more on museums. And this is topic is about museums today. But I understand your concern, because I know Auckland's island, especially your name, Ferguson, have the Farquharson's family connected to it. And I see they spell Ferguson F-E-R-G-U-R-S-O-N and F-U-R-G-U-S-O-N. So I understand your frustration, and I'm hoping that you're able to get it rectified. But we move on. We move on, and I want Ms. Auden Stubbs to continue her listing of museums, because I think we did all of the New Providence yet, or you still have some lists that you want to go with?
No, we've talked about New Providence. I wanted to say, speak to the Pompeii Museum of Slavery and Emancipation, mm-hmm. which is the most significant museum that we operate here in New Providence. The museum, as you know, we've had two fires.
Yes.
Okay? We've had two fires, and we received a generous grant just before the second fire, mm-hmm. which allowed us, we were already working on a new exhibit, and we were able to mount the present exhibit at the museum. Its focus will always be, or should be, on the enslaved experience of those people who landed in the Bahamas, okay? The ancestors generally of the present population and the future population of the Bahamas. And so I always pitch that I invite every Bahamian, I invite every resident and visitor to please go to the Pompeii Museum and view the exhibit, experience the history that is there. And if you haven't been, I invite you to please go and take your family.
Well, I go to all the museums. I'm a Pompeii Museum junkie. So I've been there at least three times with the children and critique and complain. I'm a chronic complainer. I'm not sure if you know. Say, okay, I think y'all need to change this. I think I would be more excited about this. But I am very flattered to say that they entertain my conversation, my concern, and even at times write it down. So is there any plans to expand that African narrative, that slavery narrative, to be a broader, a bigger, a grander event or
story.
Museum? Yeah, story.
Ultimately, I would assume that if we are able to do a national museum, that story would flow into the national museum.
Okay. I see we now have a break. I see the call. I do see you. I'll pick it up on the next side of this break. This is Guardian Radio AM. My name again is C.A. Nuri. I'm having a conversation with consultant Miss Kim Outing Stubbs from out of AMMC. And we're talking about museums. And on the next side, we'll talk about how I can open up a museum and give some ideas on what needs to be done. But we'll see you on the next side of the break.
J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind. Feel the glory of the 2022 World Athletics Championships in Eugene, Oregon. Feel the glory as Team Bahamas strides for gold July 15th through 24th. The World Athletics Championships, 10 days, 2,000 athletes, over 200 countries battle for supremacy. Join Guardian Media for daily updates on Team Bahamas at the World Athletics Championships at Track City, USA. Brought to you by Fidelity Bank Bahamas and by PowerAid, distributed by the Caribbean Bottling Company. Feel the glory at the World Athletic Championships 2022.
Sone Milowivo opens the throttle and comes down the home stretch with a commanding advantage.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and we're having a conversation with Miss Auden Stubbs. But I know we have a caller we've been waiting for a while, so patch them through so they can ask their question. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for holding for Guardian Radio AM.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Nice show as usual.
Thank you very much.
The lady, is she just doing museum or she's doing museums and historic labor?
Okay, state your question because she's here for a museum, but she is a consultant at AMMC, okay. So she may be able to answer it. It all depends on how in-depth or specific your question is.
Okay, I'm from Andrus. South Andrus, to be exact. There's an area in South Andrus that my grandmother took us to. They call it Slavery Wall. It's an area that was filled by slaves and inhabited. It's like a little community-like place. It's grown up now. There's a lot of bushes and trees. There's no woodwork around, just the way they used the rocks and build their home.
It sounds like some kind of quarry. So, but go ahead. Well, what about it exactly?
So I'm trying to figure out if they're interested in places like that where they can probably do some restoration or they can use as a part of a touristic site or something.
Okay, this leads
I know where most of our crabs come from. Oh, yeah, the crabs love that area. When crab season, that area is crowded.
Eating all the ancestors. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask to transition to that question right now on what can I do? Or what can Bahamians do who see a place or something they think deserve attention?
Yeah.
And so she can give advice on what should be moved there. But thanks very much for your call. But go ahead, Ms. Auden Stubbs.
Yes, thank you so much for the question and for the information. I was in South Andrus for the first time last year, driving around in some of the communities, but I did not see that site. So when I go back, I'll definitely look for that site. But I just want to say that generally, throughout our communities, there are similar sites. Mm-hmm. And people in the community, you've grown up with that site, you know about it. You're not sure how you should bring it to the public's attention. I think that we need to look at these developments as something that we in community can take on, and either through your, you can let AMMC know about the site, but you can also come together with your local government mm-hmm. and draw attention to the site. If it's a site that needs to be restored, AMMC can advise mm-hmm. on its restoration. You can begin to identify sites on your island that are significant, bring those to our attention. We can discuss further research mm-hmm. and look at them becoming a part of the list of historic resources.
So now to my question, why I brought you on air, right? I want to open up a museum, right?
Okay.
I do not know how, but I have some ideas on what should be concentrated on, and I want to know how can you guide me through that. And I
right.
see if I have a caller, and I call. I'm going to, as soon as Ms. Auden Stubbs answers this question, I'll let you chime in right then. But go ahead, Ms.
Okay.
Auden.
As I was saying earlier, so you've identified your site. When I say your site, your building mm-hmm. that you're going to use for your museum. Okay.
Okay.
So uh-huh. I'm gonna, as we go through, I'm gonna say I'm gonna have a site in Fox Hill. Go ahead.
Okay.
It could be a regular building.
You need a building. Okay. Mm-hmm. One of the things we often think about when we look at museums, we forget that we have to look at some kind of storage.
Okay, storage.
Okay. Everything that you may have may not necessarily be something that you put on display. Mm-hmm. Some of it will need to be stored. In fact, most of what you collect will go into storage mm-hmm. and not be on display. What we have also been doing is saying to persons who are serious about doing that, come to the AMMC. We will assist you technically. We will guide you. So it might be that you have objects. When we say objects, artifacts, objects, they're basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. Artifacts tend to be archaeological in nature. Objects may be this beep can. Mm-hmm. It's an object. A photograph may be an object, okay? We tend to, in the Family Islands and even here, we tend to collect a lot of domestic, what we call domestic or utility items.
Pots and irons.
Yes, uh-huh. You don't need as many of them as you may think. Mm-hmm. Every community had those, and still some communities use them. So you want to collect your photographs from your families mm-hmm. that lived in the community. You want to collect their stories, okay? So that you put together a complete picture, as it were, of what you want your museum to tell, okay? So let's say you have, I'll use a community that I'm familiar with, a mm-hmm. community in Cat Island, where you may have families like the Seymours, the Kings, the Munkers.
Mm, Ramming.
Okay. Fox Hill, the Rammings. Okay. You may identify a member of family, or you mentioned the Hannahs, the Hasties. I know that they've already done a lot of research on their family, mm-hmm. but have they done the research on the community itself? Where did they live? When did they get there? What did they do when they got there? Were they farmers? Did they fish? Who has implements or tools or objects from the various families? And something very simple. For example, someone may have a sewing kit mm-hmm. that's been passed down from generation to generation that belonged to somebody's great-great-grandmother.
So you're saying that we need to have an archive or a collection?
A collection of objects.
Objects and things.
For your museum. Stories. Yes, mm-hmm. things. You want to tell a story, you want a collection of objects, okay? Because people are coming to be informed. They're coming to find out more. And the most important thing for a museum is the object. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Something tangible to touch.
It has to be something tangible. We're collecting what you can touch, what you can say, this came from so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that is most important because there's social media, there are the videos, there's the recordings, but nothing will move you more than an actual object mm-hmm. that can tell a story. And that is the most important aspect of any museum when you're creating it. So you want a collection of objects, okay? You want to identify your space. You want to determine what story you're going to tell. So you then write the narrative. Mm-hmm. You write the narrative.
You just need someone to write something.
You need to write the narrative. Mm-hmm. Okay? You write your narrative and you edit it. You then begin to look at labels for your object. Mm-hmm. What is the object? How old is it? How was it used? And you don't want to, when you open that museum, you don't want to write too much.
Okay.
Because people get tired of you're going to be reading.
So a paragraph is the most you need, basically.
Okay. Paragraph is even long sometimes. Okay. We're talking 30 words sometimes, mm-hmm. no more than 50 in any real label to tell a story, okay, of the object.
What object?
But of course, you have your panels that may give a longer narrative mm-hmm. because you're telling the story to determine you've decided what you're going to say here in your museum.
Do museums need to be registered with somebody?
If you are generally you're going to be selling or selling some kind of souvenirs, maybe, mm-hmm. and so you have to get a license.
So you get a business regular business
license.
So is there a museum license?
No, at present there's no museum license.
Just basically let you know I exist.
Yeah.
And okay. Put me on whatever.
But as I said, we at AMMC, we are there to provide guidance. Okay, as the national institution, mm-hmm. and so we welcome persons who come to us to let us know what they want to do, because sometimes we may have something that can be added to your collection.
Because you have a lot of artifacts stored.
We don't have a lot. Or you may have something that we can add to our collection. Mm-hmm. There may be a partnership that we can enter, okay? So we encourage persons, particularly in the Family Islands, okay? And that brings me to museums in the Family Islands.
Before you go there, let me get this call.
Oh,
through.
Yes.
Go ahead, caller. Thanks for holding.
Pleasure. Good morning.
Sparky, got to make it quick because
I was trying to get there quick, but boy, it looked like you was going into the Marshall a while ago.
Go ahead quickly.
But I just want to say, so, Ms. Nuri, you know, the other day when you had the art from the art gallery, I think it was?
Okay.
No, Gray Cliff.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was telling you some things about up on West Street Hill and all kinds of things. But right in that downtown area, there's so much history, so much story. But we never write nothing now. We just pass it.
And this is what this show is about right now and how we are all responsible for telling the story.
You got down Bay Street, one of the biggest and most beautiful Masonic lodge halls right in the middle of Bay Street. That big yellow and white building by way of Lowe's Pharmacy downstairs, across the road on the south side opposite Royal Bank. Do you know that's the biggest Masonic hall right down in the middle of Bay Street?
Yes.
And I assume, Sparky, it's up to them to record that and give their story.
We know that.
About? Do you know who started the Saxon Juggler Group? Do you know who started the Valley Boys Juggler Group? A lady named Gwendolyn Mercedes Joy Fountain in 1958. Started what our cultural group called Jokaloo.
And yes, Spark, we do know. You repeat it about 1,000 times almost every day you call the show. So I definitely am acquainted with the story. And this is why I invited Miss Oaten Stubbs now to help us, give us information as to how we as individuals can retell our story, have it as a museum, create a museum. Because there are a number of things that should be told. But we are all seemingly waiting for other people to tell this story. And I'm bringing Miss Oaten Stubbs now, who's basically saying, hey, they're there for technical support. You find something that you think deserved to be recorded and a story told, they're willing to come and help you narrate it. They're willing to help you basically define it. And this is what the conversation is. So I have a couple of texts. It says, good morning, Mr. Nuri. Kindly ask Ms. Oden when Fort Charlotte will be open for locals and tourists. I'm a taxi driver and continue being told that the forts are still closed. So she could briefly answer that.
Yes. Fort Montague is open. Fort Twin Castle is open. Fort Charlotte is not open because we are still having to do some repairs there. We cannot open the site until those repairs are completed because we want to ensure the safety of all visitors, staff, taxi drivers alike. And because the fort was closed for 2 years because of the pandemic, there is work that has to be done. Railings, the bridge, restrooms, we cannot open unless those things are done. The work has begun, and we expect that shortly Fort Charlotte will be open.
I have another text that says that they want me to repeat your name, which is Kim Oden Stubbs, and where you work, which is AMMC, and they wanted a phone number. Do I give this phone number you have or a different phone
name? The phone number is, I think you have 604-6800.
Yeah, so you can reach out. That's Kim Oden Stubbs. At 604-6800, and that's the core line, and I guess they'll transfer you if maybe after they discern who you are, et cetera, et cetera. morning. So can a person open a museum of their original crafts? Can you open up, if you have your own things that you make,
yes,
can you open up a museum?
Of course you can if you get your license. It's a business. Okay. You're
open, and is
you're
it costly
creating
to open
a business.
Up? That's what you're asking.
It can be. Okay. It can be. That's why I identify you need your space. Okay, you got to realize there are going to be overhead costs. You have to. In our environment, one of the main things that persons have to remember in opening a museum is the need for air conditioning. Okay, because once you bring your objects, your craft into the space, the weather, for example, right now, if you were opening and you were not air conditioning, your things could begin to perish. You're going to have mildew, you're going to have mold over time, you're going to have things deteriorating at a much quicker rate if you don't. So the environment in which you store, in which your visitors come into your display is very important. It has to be controlled.
Okay. And I see we have another commercial break, so we'll go into that and we'll come right back and talk more about the various tours. That's good? This is Guiding Radio.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Here we go. J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and we're having a conversation with Ms. Kim Odingstubbs, and we're talking museums in the Bahamas. And on the break, we were talking about the obligation or what we should be doing as Bahamians. And I said, man, that's intriguing. I want you to repeat that. So I'll let you go with that, and then we continue with the list of museums, what all needs to be done.
I was identifying the what I call the resource institutions in the country. And sometimes we generally are not aware of the amount of work that is being done to preserve our heritage and culture. There's the Department of Archives. There's Lands and Surveys. There's the Registrar General. There's the University of the Bahamas. There's Antiquities, Monuments, and Museums. There's the National Art Gallery. These are all national institutions that are mandated to preserve some aspects of our heritage and culture. And they are working assiduously to do that. And if you are somebody who has decided that you want to tell your story, that you want to document your story, you can reach out to these institutions. Some aspect of your story overlaps or is in can be identified or found in one of these institutions.
So basically you're saying that we shouldn't be waiting. If you really want to tell your story, if you really want to open up a museum to tell the history of your community, there are institutions out there that are mandated to help you.
Well, I said there are institutions out there where the resources are available, okay? you have to do the work, okay? Because this will be your museum, okay? The government of the Bahamas cannot maintain all of these institutions that you want to create. But we can certainly assist the resources in terms of research material is available. You have to decide that this is what you're going to do, and you get out there and do the work.
Okay.
It requires a lot of work.
And just for posterity, I still want to know what all museums are available on the Family Island.
Okay, I was saying there's the Long Island Museum, mm-hmm. okay, which is a museum that is a part of the Antiquities Monuments Museum Corporation. We operate that museum, and it's been there for quite a number of years. We've been operating that museum. It's open again on the site in that building, which is a building that is owned by the Long Islanders Association, and we lease the building. So there's the museum is there, the library is there, and a community center. Mm-hmm. It's what we call a purpose-built building. It was built for that purpose in the community, and it serves the community very well. Okay, mm-hmm. That is in Long Island. Okay, in Abaco, there have been many challenges as a result of Dorian. We took a team to Abaco after Dorian. Dorian was 1st of September. We went in November to look at the cultural resources and what damage they had experienced. Our office, the AMMC office, was totally wiped out. Okay, it was not. It had a small exhibit, but we were only able to salvage many of the scientific artifacts. But the building itself was totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. Okay, in Green Turtle Key, the museum there, the Malone Museum was also damaged. Okay, the art gallery there was damaged. There was a gallery in Marsh Harbor that had a collection by the Minnis sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Again, damaged. Lot of damage.
So are there any other Family Island that has like an island museum?
At this time, other than the Long Island Museum, in Grand Bahama, the AMMC is just trying to reestablish its office there,
mm-hmm.
with an objective to creating a museum in Grand Bahama.
So okay. Places like Cat Island, places like Acklands, they need the inhabitants
Cat
there
Island,
to
In Cat Island,
do work.
I know that there is someone there who has started,
mm-hmm.
to work on a museum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's taken it on as a personal project, okay? I don't know, you've mentioned Acklands, okay? But in many of the other islands, persons may have displays. Maintenance, again, is something that we're excited about getting started, but we don't often go to the end.
Mm-hmm.
What is it going to take to maintain this?
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned, environment is very important, or you will lose everything that you've put into it. Okay, and then of course you need to look at some source of income, generally, so some kind of gift store. You would want in our community to liaise with the Ministry of Tourism, so they're okay. aware of what you're doing, and they can assist you with the marketing, because they are encouraging these kinds of facilities in the Family Islands. And then you want to look at what are the, what we call, what is your interpretation of what you've now told? Are you going to do guided tours?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have a storyteller there, for example? Are you going to do some demonstrations on site? How is it that you're going to bring that story to life?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very important. Otherwise, you may find that your efforts are not, you know, maybe in vain,
I understand.
And you don't want to do that.
So So I'm talking with Miss Kim Oding Stubbs, and definitely I have to bring you back. That means, can I convince you to come back on so we could talk museum? I see you squinting your eyes. What is the possibility?
Yeah.
Good. Because there are a number of persons who are eager to go in detail, but they just don't know how. And they see your knowledge and your wealth of knowledge, and I want to bring you back to do that again.
Yeah? I'm sure we can arrange that.
So this has been Guardian Radio AM. Again, this is C.A. Nuri, and thank you for joining us. And we will bring Ms. Oden Stubbs back just to give us some more details on how to open up a museum and how important it is for the national narrative. I see you again tomorrow.